Hey, nosy neighbors, it's Kylie.
And I'm Mary.
And you're listening to Sipping with Snapped, a true crime podcast. Yo.
The last episode of the season. Well, of the year.
Of the year. Hope that you guys enjoyed your Christmases.
Yes, hope that you had some family bonding.
Yes, or friend bonding, found families, if you will.
Oh, I love that. Found families are so much fun.
Oh, yeah. There's something more, like a different type of special about the family that you choose, you know?
It's true. Yeah, absolutely.
So drive safe if you're traveling anywhere.
Yes. Hope your kids are entertained with their new toys.
Right. You always think it's going to last so long, and then all of a sudden it's been 20 minutes and they are bored.
Womp womp.
No, not really. Mine's still love it. But what was your first job?
My very first, besides babysitting?
Besides babysitting, like have to receive a paycheck.
I was a UPS driver helper.
No way. Was for it the holidays. Seasonal? No way. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
So our semester, it was a quarter instead of a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And our last day of the quarter was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And we were out all the way until after New Year's.
Wow. That's a long break.
That's why they came to hire where we were. Yes.
Yeah. So that's the perfect time to pick up a job, mm-hmm. and keep it long enough to make money.
Yeah. And then go back to school.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I had such a crush on my driver.
So you were the helper. So did he just drive and you were the one that actually had to put the packages on the steps?
Well, we would race.
Oh.
Like I would get a package and he would get a package. I would do my side of the street. He would do his side.
Oh. Yeah. So he got things.
And then whoever got back.
Uh-huh. So it helped. And
oh yeah, we got it moving.
Yeah,
me and my steel-toed boots.
Very necessary.
My dad was so afraid that my toes were gonna get squished by a box or something.
Oh man, he was just in the age where they mailed bowling balls, you know. Yes. That's where he grew up. He saw too many toes get smushed.
Too many. Too many toes.
My first job, for anyone that doesn't know, was working at Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh my gosh, I loved that. That was so much fun.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what'd you bring us today, Kylie?
Yes, and not only did I learn to make drinks while I was there, I actually, a lot of the people I worked with were from Brazil, and I learned a little bit of Portuguese.
Wow.
I only remember like two phrases now.
Yeah, the good ones, I hope.
If you say, oi, well, yeah. Oi, como va você? Is just, hey, how are you?
Oh, okay.
But then, one of my good friends that I made there, mm-hmm. and I would talk about customers that came up to order in Portuguese. We would talk about how their attractiveness.
Oh.
And rate them.
Okay.
Gostoso means that they were hot.
Okay.
And then bonitinho means that they were like, so-so, they were all right. Like, nothing special.
Uh-huh.
And then I forget the other one. That meant not good looking.
Oh, wow.
Conveniently.
All of your customers were just very good looking.
Yeah. So our drink, mm-hmm. comes also from Brazil.
Okay.
It is the Caipirinha. It's the national drink of Brazil.
Oh, fun.
It's the most popular cocktail in the South American country, and everyone has their own way of making it.
Okay.
But in short, it's muddled like a mojito.
Mm-hmm.
You take half a lime, like cut up, and 1.5 to 2.5 teaspoons of sugar, and you muddle that in the glass.
Okay.
And add 2 ounces of cachaça, and then garnish with a lime wheel.
You squeeze the lime?
You
said you take half a lime.
Yes.
You squeeze it?
So you,
like, for the juice.
You muddle it in the bottom.
Oh.
You know, so you take one of the thingies and you muddle it in with the
like squish it.
Essentially you squish it, but you squish it like a 3-year-old would squish it.
Okay.
Smush it in the bottom with some sugar.
And they say muddle because it's more elegant.
Oh yeah, exactly. Okay. You smash it up in the bottom. And then 2 ounces of cachaça. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I'm sorry, Brazil. It is a liquor that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use a lime wheel for garnish.
Okay.
Using the same recipe They're not true caprinas, but they have like spinoffs. So if you use this recipe and you use tequila, for example, mm-hmm. which is technically what I'm drinking tonight, it's a caprilla. If you use white rum, it's a caprissima. If you use vodka, it's a capriosca. And if you use a sake, it's a capisaki.
Oh, well, that one's simple.
So sorry if I butchered that to any of our Brazilian listeners.
Yes. Hello, Brazil.
Yes, and sorry in the future, because that's the neighborhood that we're headed is to Brazil, if you couldn't tell already.
Oh, yay. That would be fun to go. That would be fun to go.
Oh, right. It seems beautiful. Mm-hmm. I should let all of you neighbors know up front that this is a big, crazy case. So I'm going to have to split it in two parts.
Ooh.
I began my research and then found an amazing 5-part documentary about the case.
Oh.
And it's so multi-layered. I couldn't really cut that much out. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I had to keep it all in to really round it out and give you a full meaning. Detail.
Give you the gusto.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Give it all. The full Brazilian barbecue. I don't know if that's the thing, but it is now. So life in Brazil revolved around the 8 p.m. telenovela. The entire country would stop to watch the latest chapter in the story. It had strong impacts on the culture as well as mirrored societal issues. So it was both inspiration for and inspired by.
Okay.
Our face of the case this week, or these weeks, is Daniela Perez, who was 22 years old and on her third telenovela.
Okay.
Her mother is the MVP of the case, and her name is Gloria Perez. She fights hard throughout this entire case for her daughter.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, you know, a mom will do anything for her daughter.
I do. And it's crazy because in the documentary, it's on HBO.
Okay.
It is in Portuguese. Just FYI, but it is also really good. And all of these people tell their firsthand accounts, which I personally love.
Oh, yeah. But it's also heartbreaking.
Oh, at the same time, I cried. Oh, we'll get to that. I totally cried during this.
Yes, I would totally bawl.
So Gloria grew up in the state of Acre. Mm-hmm. It's located in the westernmost part of Brazil and very rural, surrounded by forest.
Okay.
Gloria had to imagine the outside world because they were so isolated. As she and her siblings grew, her parents became concerned about their children's education.
Mm-hmm.
When Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil, was inaugurated, they saw an opportunity.
Okay.
The city was inaugurated on April 21st, 1960. What a great day.
Oh, yeah.
Following a 4-year construction period. So Gloria's father wanted her to be a lawyer, but she rejected that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Her two passions were writing and history.
Oh.
And in 1968, she went to Rio to study history.
Okay.
Then she got married to a man named Luis Carlos Sacquiet Perez.
Wow.
Yes. We Carlo Perez.
Okay.
In 1969, and had three children, Daniela in 1970, Rodrigo in 1972, and her youngest son, Rafina, in 1977.
Okay.
Who was actually born with special needs and passed away in 2002.
Oh, that's devastating.
I know. But Gloria was an amazing mother. Her house was warm and it was full of music and baking, and she was really a mother first before starting her career.
Okay.
Then came a moment where she had to choose, and she chose a writing career.
Oh.
Not spoken about, but it's probably why she and her husband got divorced in 1984.
Oh.
Because she chose her career. Choosing her career was a sign of defeat for her father, but Gloria hustled at it, and eventually her opportunity presented itself.
Okay.
Jeanette Claire was a writer who wrote the best telenovelas in Brazil that really understood the mind of the public.
Telenovela?
Mm-hmm.
TV?
Yes. So it's a soap opera.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yes.
Gotta watch my stories.
Yes, but I guess that in Brazil, it is just such a bigger cultural thing.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah, I think of, I don't know, when the crazy cliffhanger. Yeah, but it's at 8 p.m. It unites them all.
Everybody's talking about it the next morning.
Oh, exactly. That's everybody me. Watched it. Everybody knew it, and mm-hmm. they felt like they knew the characters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Jeanette Claire had always written alone, but then she fell ill and wanted to have a collaborator.
Okay.
Gloria asked Jeanette's daughter-in-law to take her script, and Jeanette loved it. Gloria began working with her in 1983 in the telenovela O Prometo.
Okay.
When Jeanette passed away the same year, Gloria was left to finish the show under supervision, of course.
Talk about her big break.
Uh-huh. That began Gloria's career writing her own telenovelas.
Uh-oh.
She literally was born in the jungle of Brazil,
mm-hmm.
and now is in Rio writing telenovelas.
That's so cool.
Gloria's daughter Daniela was born on August 11th, 1970 in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay.
Her friends and family described her as the personification of joy.
Aww.
And you can see it. Her interest in the arts began at an early age. At 5 years old, she began dancing ballet, and as a teenager, she was invited to dance professionally for Valiku Dansu, one of the best dance companies in Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
She loved to dance outside of the stage as well. Family members always knew if they heard music on that Danny was home and she was dancing.
That's cool.
I guess she used to push the furniture to the side and was doing the samba or
uh-huh.
all of those amazing Latin dances that I could not do.
Yes.
Her first role in television was a tango dancer in the Red Machete novella Congo de Jeppo,
okay.
where she met her husband, or her eventual husband, Raul Gazzola.
Okay.
The two married when she was 19.
Wow.
How young.
So young.
Who does that?
19? That's a teenager.
Her dance group was invited by Red Globo to act in the novella Barriga de Aluguel. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Which was written by her mother, Gloria.
Oh.
Daniela got the part of Clo, a dancer in the fictional club Copacabana Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And she might have gotten more screen time and a slightly bigger role because she was the daughter of the writer.
Well, you know, it's all who you know.
Uh-huh. Her acting then got the attention of director Dennis Carvalho, who invited her to star in O Dono do Mundo,
uh-huh.
where she played Yara, who is the sister of the main character.
Okay.
Brazil loved her. And in 1992, Daniela was cast in her mother's novella, De Corpo e Alma, which means body and soul in English.
Okay.
As Yasmin, a young woman who was in a love triangle with characters Kiao, who was the good boy, and Bira, who was the bad boy, who, you know, was seeing her on the side, you know?
Yes.
Yasmin was
a page out of Greece.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves it. The younger sister who's in the love, like 10 Things I Hate About You, you know? The sister.
Yes.
Who has the good boy and the bad boy.
Oh, my God. What's her name? What's the sister's name?
Not Kat, but the other one.
Yeah.
And all I think is like, what, does beer come out of her nipples? And then he's like, hey, don't talk to her about like that way.
Bianca.
Bianca. Bianca.
Sorry. Bianca. Okay.
So Yasmin was the sister of the main character of the novella, and she became even more popular. She was so popular, she became, quote, Brazil's sweetheart. You know,
mm-hmm.
We have America's Sweetheart, like Sandra Bullock, it was at a time, and all of the others.
Yeah.
So on Christmas Day, 1992, she played Mary, Mother of Jesus, in a Christmas special.
Oh, okay.
And then December 28th, 1992 was a day like every other. Daniela and her husband Raul got up, had breakfast,
mm-hmm.
according to Mid Love, like all young couples do.
23.
And then She's 22.
Oh.
And then went to work.
Okay. 22.
Okay. So she worked at Tycoon and he worked at Projac. Both were TV studios.
Okay.
They left at the same time to go to work because both had morning shoots. So if you think about it, Daniela and her husband are kind of like Kelly Ripa and Mark, whatever his name is, because they met on the set of a soap.
Mark Ripa.
No. Ooh, burn.
Yes.
Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos.
Yes.
Because that's kind of, I feel like, in my head, the equivalent.
Okay.
Because they're both big soap opera actors. He just worked at a different studio, different soap opera.
Okay.
That night, the couple was rehearsing a new play about a dance that was going to showcase Danny's different talents in all styles. She really wanted to do something that would showcase her talent as a dancer, mm-hmm. as well as her talents on screen.
Okay.
Daniela arrived at her mom Gloria's house around lunchtime with Marcella, the producer slash Danny's friend, to eat, and also Danny needed some money.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, her husband owned the vehicles that they used, a car and a motorcycle, and she wanted to have her own car, which I totally get.
Oh, yeah.
So Gloria gave her $6,000 for the down payment, and after that, Danny left.
Okay.
After she left, the car began making some weird noises, so Daniela took it to the mechanic and had it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
While there, she called her friend slash someone that worked on set, Sandra, and Sandra immediately asked, all right, did you buy the car? To which Danny let her know, no, she'd ran out of time after having to go to the mechanic, but it was fine. She just put the down payment down the next day.
Okay.
Sandra warned her that it would be dangerous being out with that much cash on her.
Mm-hmm.
However, Daniela assured her that it would be fine.
Okay.
When Raul finished work, he drove by Tycoon, but he didn't see Daniela's car in the lot.
Mm.
He thought to himself, oh, she's just home already. But when he arrived, she wasn't there. He waited a bit, thinking maybe she got a flat tire or something, but there was no sign.
Okay.
It was a straight shot between home and work on a road along the beach. So he got back on his bike and went back to check the route, mm-hmm. for her to see if she'd broken down, if anything crazy had happened.
Yeah.
He drove all around looking and didn't see her or the car. So then he thought maybe she went to rehearsal already. He checks and she's not there.
Oh, no.
Then he calls Marcella to see if she's heard from or seen Danny.
Mm-hmm.
She lets him know that, yeah, she had. Danny had just called her about 15, 20 minutes ago. She'd finished shooting and she was on her way home.
Okay.
Now Raul's worried because Daniela had never arrived home.
Yeah.
She should have been here.
Mm-hmm.
Members of the group that they were rehearsing with for this play called around to one another to check if Danny was with them.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 90s, so there were no cell phones at the time.
That's right.
So I imagine in my head a phone tree type situation.
Yeah. Yep.
Raul called all friends and family. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
No one was with her or knew where she was. Everybody started to worry.
Yeah.
Danny was a hard worker who was always on time. Like that day, she was going from shooting her soap opera to then rehearsing for her play at night.
Yeah.
So there was no way that she would.
A real go-getter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Raul then goes to Danny's mother, Gloria, to tell her what happened, that Danny was missing. There were many kidnappings in Rio at the time, and Daniela was a public figure, so they feared that this might be what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case, Gloria called the director of De Corpo y Alma,
okay,
the telenovela,
okay,
to see if she was there late for an extra scene or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her, no, there weren't any extra scenes. In fact, he'd seen Daniela leave the studio earlier, and she was with fellow actors Mary Lou, who played her on-screen mother,
okay,
and Guillerme, who played Bira, the bad boy from the love triangle.
Gotcha.
Gloria immediately calls Mary Lou, but there's no answer. So Raul goes to her house to see if she's made it home. Marilu is there, and she says that she last saw Danny back at the studio. She was going to hitch a ride, but it took too long in the lot because she was talking to Guillerme, and then there were kids who wanted to take some pictures with the actors.
Oh, that's adorable.
I know. It's not something that was really allowed, but sometimes they snuck in and let it slide.
Under the fence.
The director gave Gloria Guillerme's number so that she could ask him about Daniela. Mm-hmm. She called him, and a woman answered the phone. Gloria asked to speak with him and let him know that Danny never came home or made it to rehearsal, and everyone was worried. He responded, maybe she went to visit a friend. Gloria responds, who? What friend? Did she tell you she's gonna see a friend? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, do you have a lead? Tell me the lead.
Exactly. And he's just like, nah, I meant maybe she could have gone to see a friend or something. When I left, she was taking pictures with a group of fans. And in the documentary, Gloria was like, she could tell she was talking to an idiot, so she just hung up the phone. Meanwhile, at the 16th police station in Rio, a call came in reporting an abandoned car in Recario dos Benedertes, close to Rio Mar Condominium.
Okay.
It was a remote, dark place. Nowadays, it's been built up, but at the time, it was very isolated.
Okay.
The previous week, there had been a mugging in the area, so police told residents of the condo to stay vigilant and report suspicious cars or people in the future.
Yeah.
So, when Dr. Hugo de Silveira drove by and saw two cars parked with no one inside and looking super suspicious, he decided to write down the license plates.
Smart.
The first car was an Escort and the second one was a Santana. In order to get plates of the car, so he drove by, I've got to kind of explain this. So he drove by the cars and they were on his right and he was like, that's suspicious. So he decides he's going to take down the license plates. So he goes back towards the cars in the opposite direction and is able to get the license plate of that back car.
Okay.
But has to take a U-turn to get the license plate of the front car. So he has to turn back around.
That's kind of suspicious too.
It is. It is like, he's not being any less suspicious. There's then a third man on a balcony who is reporting the man circling the abandoned cars.
He goes and he does
his loop-de-loop.
8-point turn.
I know, right?
Austin Powers style. 8-point turn to get the license plate.
To get the other plate. He's like, hold on, don't move, don't move.
That's not suspicious at all.
Yes. But when he comes back the other way, he now sees a man and a woman in that second car.
Oh.
Dr. Hugo thought it was strange, but maybe it was an illicit affair or something.
Oh.
So he's like, whatever. He returns to the condo and tells some other people there, like, hey, I saw this weird thing. And they decide to go see for themselves.
So they're doing their 8-point turns.
Well, when they arrive, only one car is there.
Oh.
So they don't even have to.
Oh.
They found it shady enough to call the police. A police officer arrives on the scene, and while shining his light around exploring the scene, he discovers a body.
Oh, no.
Raul returns home, and the doorman of his building tells him a police officer from the 16th stopped by and asked him to come to the station.
Oh.
Raul gets there and is frantically looking around the lot for Daniela's car, thinking she's there, too.
Oh.
Yeah, this is like when documentaries are heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
For police, the significant other is always suspect number one in these types of things.
Yes.
So they are not telling him anything.
Oh, no.
He's asking questions but being stonewalled. Finally, an officer tells him he's the one who was on the scene when they discovered Daniela's car. Technically, his car. He's relieved but also concerned. You found my car but not my wife? She's not with the car. Once he's told she's not with the car, he's certain their worst fears were realized.
Yeah.
And he calls Gloria to tell her that Daniela's been kidnapped.
Oh.
Gloria calls Guillerme after talking to Raul.
Uh-huh.
He last saw her with some fans. Maybe they were some crazy fans.
Oh.
Guillerme was, once again, weird on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
He told Gloria, quote, she left alone and not showing much concern after she told him her car was found abandoned by the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, she's like, he's no help, and ends the conversation.
I'm not liking this.
Because she's just calling around looking for information.
Not liking this gear, me.
Mm-hmm. At the station, Raul is finally told that his wife, Daniela, is dead.
Oh.
His first thought was that she'd been in an accident.
Uh-huh.
So he asked the officer about the car. Like, was there a lot of damage? Like, how is the vehicle? Like, what?
Yeah.
Only to be told that there's no damage to the vehicle.
So
this poor guy, like, they never straight up told him what happened.
Yeah.
He was just led around.
It's the runaround.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Friends and family flooded to the scene after they found out about the vehicle being discovered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is normal in Brazil or what, but there were only two officers at the scene, and they allowed them to just go up and see the body and identify the woman.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was flooded. It seemed like they were all in denial and had to see for themselves.
Oh.
And they were able to confirm it was 22-year-old Daniela Perez.
No.
And it was a huge crowd.
What about evidence?
Yes, it was a huge crowd of people just sobbing, just random people that heard about what had happened.
Yeah, and probably media, because she's famous.
And reporters.
Yeah.
So much. Mm. And just recording a body on the ground. Her, right there.
Yeah.
So, and then this definitely made me cry in the documentary as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gloria talks about going to the scene.
Oh, God.
And arriving there and believing that you being there as the mother is magical and
yeah.
your child will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That when you get there, the mom's here, everything's fine.
Oh.
And then you see them and saying you just want to pick them up and put them back in your womb where they're safe.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
I just got goosebumps and I want to cry all at the same time.
This mother just, so much love.
Yeah.
And she writes telenovelas.
Yeah.
So some of the sentences, some of the phrases that she said mm-hmm. were so beautiful.
Eloquent.
Yes.
Eloquent.
I was like, oh my goodness. So you can tell that you're a writer.
Wow. Wow.
The killing of Daniela Perez was brutal. Her face was covered in bruises
mm-hmm.
and there were knife wounds all over her body.
It's personal.
Daniela's body had 18 stab wounds.
Oh my gosh.
12 to the heart, 4 to the left lung, and 2 in her neck. She had no defensive wounds.
That's just vicious. It's just vicious.
Mm-hmm. Her bags were missing, including the $6,000 she had gotten from her mom earlier that day.
For the car.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The keys to the car were found lost on the ground, which explains why the car must have been left behind.
Because
mm-hmm. the first thought everyone was thinking was this was a mugging gone wrong.
Oh, okay.
Around 3 a.m., police knock on the door of the apartment belonging to Hugo's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hugo was actually only in town visiting for the holidays. Remember, it's 3 days after Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. They tell her that they're there because there was a murder. So they wake up Grandpa Hugo and he gives them the paper with the two plates written down.
Oh, smart man.
And the investigation begins.
Yeah, Hugo.
Yep. It begins with his testimony about what he saw with the cars and the couple.
Okay.
The first notes were actually taken on a typewriter.
Oh, wow.
At this time, friends and family were at the police station awaiting any news.
Mm-hmm.
This included unhelpful Guillerme, who immediately rushed to Raul to comfort him and gave him a big hug.
Mm.
It was a little odd because the two were not friends,
mm-hmm.
but he was the last one to see her alive. So maybe there was some sort of survivor's guilt, something. Who knows?
Who knows?
Police asked about Daniela. Daniela's last movements
mm-hmm.
and are told that she had filmed before being seen leaving from the studio.
Okay.
Detectives asked for the incoming and outgoing vehicle spreadsheet for Tycoon parking lot and compared this with the plates that they have from Dr. Hugo.
Okay.
And there's a match.
Oh.
Obviously, there's a match for Daniela's because she was at both.
It's her car, yeah.
But There's also one for the other license plate Hugo saw, only with a slight error. The correct plate number was LM-1115, but Hugo had it written down OM-1115.
Huh.
And this car belonged to, who do you think it belonged to?
A jealous actor that wanted her part in the show.
Guillermo de Pauda.
Oh.
Guillermo, the one that was being suspicious on the phone with her mom.
Yeah, the guy.
Yes.
Okay. I guess he wouldn't want any parts that she had.
I know.
It's Tootsie.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, Tootsie is a soap opera.
Oh, really?
It's Dustin Hoffman is dressed as a woman to get a part in a soap opera.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's a funny.
Does he play a convincing woman?
I highly recommend watching that movie. It's so funny.
Yes, so the car belonged with the license plate LM-1115.
Guillermo.
Belonged to Guillermo de Paua.
Guillermo.
Yes. Deputy Cidad was one of the detectives working the case along with detectives Sereno and Nilo. He pulled Gloria into his office to speak with her. There, he told her he was certain Guillermo had something to do with Daniela's murder. But in Brazil, there was a law, and for whatever reason, he could not enter Guillermo's home until after 6 a.m. the following morning.
Oh, that's silly.
Yeah, there's a lot of
bumbo
jumbo about it that they talked about it, but that's the short of it.
So he can get rid of as much evidence as he wants.
Yes.
And he has a time limit.
If he's tipped off.
Yes.
So if he's tipped off, he's certainly going to get rid of stuff and flee. So this Deputy Cidad wanted to keep Gloria informed, but also she couldn't say anything.
Okay.
And she didn't, even when he tried to come to her daughter's funeral.
Ooh.
Marcella, who is Danny's TV mother, told Gloria about how distraught Guillermo had been and how he'd asked to be told about the funeral, quote, to be by her side.
Mm.
Barf.
Yes.
She set emotions aside and gave Marcella a token to make the call.
Oh.
1992.
It's like a dime.
Yeah. Marcella returned to tell her that she'd called him to let him know about the funeral, and the police were at his place.
Oh, yay.
So that's a nice little surprise. Daniela Perez's funeral was madness.
I believe it.
I don't know if this is normal, but it seems that it happened immediately. Like, they buried her right away.
Like, the funeral next day.
That's what it felt like. Wow. Because I couldn't find dates really like written in stone that weren't in Portuguese, but from what I saw and everything,
literally
written in stone. But it seemed like it happened immediately, because that's when he was arrested and she went into the ground right away.
Some faiths give you a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
some faiths do.
And so many literally fan people were lining the streets, trampling each other, standing on the roofs of houses, packed in with nowhere to move. Like, it was a huge, it was the death of a celebrity.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking too, though.
Telenovelas change customs and trends and behaviors in Brazil, unlike anywhere else in the world. Residents watch these shows and feel as if, like you said, the character's part of their family. There's a strong sentimental attachment.
Well, it's kind of like Friends.
Yes.
And the styles on Friends were emulated from the public and like the Rachel hairdo.
Yes, exactly. And the type of humor and the what's popular. But then at the same token, they would discuss controversial things like Ross's wife is gay, you know?
Yes.
Like, when that's a new taboo subject.
And in the 90s, that was taboo.
And people were so distraught over Danny's death. The news of her death actually overshadowed the presidential impeachment that was taking place that same day.
Oh my. Oh my.
Yes.
That was found on page 8.
So at the funeral, Raul was told that police already knew who killed Daniela. They sat him down and it was revealed to him that it was Guillermo de Pauda.
Oh.
And he's furious.
Yeah.
Others were holding him back as he shouted and screamed.
He's pissed.
He was like, he had the audacity to come and comfort me, show his face at the police station.
That man hugged me.
Right? It just dawned on me now, though, that her and all of her best friends and family and lover and everything are also all soap opera actors.
Yes.
So there might have been a little
acting,
not act, but like the tendency to like, because I guess people, it was at the funeral that they told him. So everyone saw him like have a freak out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not tactful or.
Right. That's like
tacky.
Like, we just want to let you know that we found him. And it's like, OK, let me know as soon as possible. But maybe in the privacy of my own home.
Yes. And maybe when I'm not in public mourning my wife.
Mm-hmm. These people had to like hold him back, so he looked like this crazed. It was a very
wow,
very telenovela.
And then it was on the tabloid covers.
Yes, poor Raul's wife was murdered by her actor coworker. But why?
That's so sad. Yeah, why?
We'll find out next week.
Oh,
that's a good breaking point, I think.
Okay.
Right.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. All right. So make sure that you guys stay tuned
and have a wonderful New Year's.
Yes.
So we'll see you next year.
I know. We'll see you next year. Gotta wait till next year. We can make all of those jokes right now.
Yeah, wow.
I'll talk to you next year.
Yeah, talk to you next year and 2024. Wow.
I know.
That's going to be so weird to write a 4.
Yeah. I mean, I feel weird about it every year. Mm-hmm. January is always a little tough.
Yeah.
A little tough. A little tough to ease in there. But that's okay. A lot is coming this next year, you guys.
Oh, yes.
I feel good things for us. Like, things are moving.
I've got a feeling.
Woohoo. Literally, figuratively, we're gonna grow. It's gonna be awesome.
Yes.
So stay nosy. Well, make sure you guys listen to your mothers.
And don't drink and drive. Make good choices.
Yes. Yeah, that is that's the best, easiest choice. Yes. All right, stay nosy, neighbors.
Cheers.
Clink. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Mary.
I'm Kylie.
And you've been listening to Sipping with Snapped, a true crime podcast.
Be sure to follow us on our Instagram at Sipping with Snapped.
Twitter at Sipping Snapped.
Facebook, Sipping with Snapped, a true crime podcast.
Join our Patreon, Sipping with Snapped.
And if you forget all that, go to our website,
www.sippingwithsnapped.com.
We've got links to everything.
Cheers.
Logan, say I love you.